Well, it sounded very nice. I enjoyed listening and joining in a little bit too. Well, I look here and I see many happy faces and many here that are embarking on the part of their life. It's a crossroad. And in some ways, I remember sitting in your chair and it was very exciting. And it was scary too, because there's so many avenues. But you know, the Lord, I will say, the Lord has a path for each one of us. And we need to look to Him as to where we go, how we're going to spend our lives. The Lord gives us lifetime partners, or work, or job, or location, and so many, many other decisions we have to make. Well, it's very exciting. But I want to just look to the Lord for help. Our loving God and Father, we would just pray for each one here. Thou knowest the needs. There are many needs and perhaps many questions too in life. We would just pray. We know that entrance into Thy Word giveth light. And oh, we thank Thee for this. And we thank Thee too that we have a Lord and Savior who's on glory, who's exalted at Thy right hand, our Father. We thank Thee for this, and we would just ask for help as we would open up Thy precious Word in Thy most worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'd like to begin by reading a couple verses in Revelation. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on which that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed after they were should be fulfilled. Here, I'm sure many of us know this takes place in the tribulation, and there are those that are slain. And just notice a couple things about it. It says, where I started, and they saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Why the altar? No doubt it would suggest as to that they were a sacrifice, a sweet savor unto God. Their death was a sweet savor unto God. And how wonderful to see that their life was that way. And then it says that they were slain. It says, for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Oh, they held firm to the word of God and to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt they are going to have a crown for their faithfulness. And then they ask the question, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Here they were waiting for the judge to come and avenge their blood. And here's the answer. Well, first of all, it says they had white robes were given unto every one of them. No doubt that would speak of they're sanctified, they're pure, they're in the presence of God with white robes, and it says, and that they should rest yet for a little season. And then it says, until their servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. I think we see another thought that they were to wait. They were to wait, rest a little season, just wait a little longer. And that there was yet, in God's plan, it says there's others. So it says should be fulfilled. There will be others that would die with them. They would be part of those who were martyred for the Lord. Oh, you know, when we read such a story, we sometimes, it, I know I've, many of us, at least I have this, I get this periodic, it's called Voice of the Martyrs. And in it, you read of different ones who have died for the Lord, who have suffered greatly and given up their lives. And no doubt, it's a sweet savor unto God. And here with these also. And, you know, but I want to say, don't be troubled by it. Don't be disturbed that these ones have died. That is if the Lord is not in control, because He is. You know, I want to read a verse in Isaiah chapter 2. It says, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. You know, it's something that I enjoy. You know, right now, the book of Revelation is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And why is that? Because we see the exaltation of the Lord. We long for that day when He will reign, where He will be, His name will no longer be the song of the drunkard. There will be no more that would suffer and die for Him. In that day, righteousness will reign. And we do long for that. And if we go back, we can put ourselves in that. How long will it be? I don't believe it will be very long. And He's going to take us all to glory. But we might ask the question, how long? But notice the answer, like with these who have been martyred. It says to rest and to wait a little season. To wait a little bit. Oh, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to wait. He is in control. And He will watch over His own. We see that, you know, we love to read the stories of like Daniel, who the mouths of the lions were closed, but then there were others also. There were others who died for Christ's sake. And they, no doubt, will receive a reward. But in either case, the Lord is in control. Let's look at another verse in Psalms. Psalms chapter 97. Psalms 97, it says, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Oh, what an expression. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Well, we will rejoice when the Lord reigns in righteousness. He will be exalted. You know, when we remember the Lord, what do we speak of? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. The exaltation of the Lord. Often, very much, when we are occupied in the remembrance of the Lord, what do we see and hear? We hear of His sufferings and His exaltation. And we rejoice in this. And that's what we have in the book of Revelation. The exaltation of the Lord. We know that we in heaven, we will rejoice around the throne. We see the Lord as the judge of all the earth. And you know, if we would, we'll look at just a couple verses also in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure were they created. The judge of all the earth, He is going to judge with a title as Creator. And then if we would turn to chapter 4-5, we would see in verse 6, it says, And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and in the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth on the earth. Here, He is under the title as Redeemer, and He will judge the earth as the Creator and as the Redeemer. Everyone will have to be answered to Him. I remember speaking to somebody, my work, and he had said, Well, I believe in Buddha, I believe in Muhammad, and I believe in Jesus, I believe in everybody. But I could tell you, and I told him, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it is true of everyone in here. Have you accepted Him as Lord even now? If not, you will meet Him as your judge. Let's look at Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 19. Revelation 19 in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knoweth save he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, here we know this is the Lord coming out of heaven. And what is he? He's riding on a white horse. His eyes are as a flaming fire. He sees all. In his head, many crowns, glory. And then it says also, and the armies which were in heaven followed him. Who are the armies? The armies are the saints. And notice it speaks about them. They also riding on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, which would speak of, again, purity, those with him. And you know, this portion was even, you know, if you'll look at Enoch. Enoch preached of that day when he will reign in righteousness. You know, it says in Jude, verse 14, And Enoch, also the seventh of Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among all the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, so forth. Here we see even Enoch, who was born many years before the Lord's birth, it spoke of that coming day, and that day is fast approaching when he will reign in righteousness. We don't have to be, I know if you take up the the newspaper, or if you look on Fox News, you read about all the awful things that are happening in this earth, and to believers too. But the Lord, remember, if you know the Lord is your Savior, you're on the winning side. You don't have to be disheartened by it. The Lord is in control. And often we see places like in Syria and Iraq where there have been a number of believers who have been killed, and then others have fled. Both Israel, both those that were Muslims and Christians alike, but we're seeing that the Lord is using that in saving many souls. He's using that to speak to others. And, you know, I just finished a book. It's 10 Years in Shanghai by Helen Willis. And, you know, if you read it, what you'll notice throughout it is that when the Communist Party sought to push out Christianity, what they did is they took all the foreigners and they had them leave, thinking, well, that will really cripple the church. But what happened is the people themselves became more exercised and more, instead of just relying on the foreigners to give the gospel and the teaching, they themselves had to dig into it, and there was tremendous blessing from it. So then they said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take all the pastors and we're going to take them and put them out, put them in jail and so forth. So they sought to take all the leaders. But what happened is, first of all, the leaders that went into these prisons, what happened is they told the other prisoners, and all of a sudden there was many believers in these prisons. And then when they came out, they told them how it was worth it all. And it was, they said it was like a seed plot. Instead of one being saved, it was 10. They would come out in their testimony, so forth. The Lord is in control. And man can do everything he can to try to put out Christianity, but you will see that the Lord has the last word. And we have seen that in many places. The very place where man is sought to be put out, all of the gospel, the Lord uses it, and many come to the Lord. How wonderful it is. You know, don't be disheartened by when you read the news and what is happening. The Lord is in control. Well, let's look at in our chapter 19, I'll just mention, it says in verse 16, and he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the Lord Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to recognize him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Even one of the most powerful kings, Nebuchadnezzar, he could say, the Lord brought him down to where he could say, the God of heaven ruleth over the sons of men. Then let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Corinthians 15 and verse 25, it says, and for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Oh, the Lord is going to be exalted. God will have his rightful place on the earth. And we long for that. Now let's look at, I was just thinking in here, let's look at one verse in Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 and verse 5. Verse 4 I'm going to read. It says, "For I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which hath with after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Oh, if there's any in here that are yet in their sins, there's reason to fear the judge of all the earth. Put your trust in him while there is time. There's still yet a little season. Put your trust in him. Now I'll say one more word to the believers, to those who have put their trust in him, in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Oh, this is the time right now. Many of us, we have talents. What are we using our talents? There isn't that much time left. If you know the Lord is your Savior, are you taking that talent that you have and putting it into the earth? Wasting your life. Oh, I pray that it won't be so. You have this time. The Lord has given you this moment in time. Use it. Use it for His glory. Search out the Scriptures. There's many treasures found in the Word of God. We need to take it now. While our minds they're like a sponge. They can take it in. When you get older, what happens? I can read a periodic, and then a year later, it seems like a new one. And I already, this is really nice. And I forget. But when we're younger, we have that mind that can just take it in. It's worth it. There's so many treasures found in the Word of God. Don't just waste your time. I'll read one more verse in closing. In Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. "I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten." Oh, I trust in your life that it won't be as the locust hath eaten. Don't waste your life. Use it for His glory. Take that talent and use it for Him. The little time left. Because there isn't much time. Here it says, wait yet a little season. And that's perhaps this night we would be ushered to glory. We won't have another opportunity to suffer for His name's sake. Now is the time. Let's pray. Our loving God and Father, we thank Thee for each one in here. We thank Thee. We know that for everyone in here that knows Thee as Savior, that they have a desire to please Thee. Oh, we thank Thee for this, and we would just pray that they would not only have that desire, but they would seek it. As we have heard this day. And we would just pray. We know if we seek, we shall find. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, we would just pray for this. We pray for each one. We pray for this evening too, the activities and the fellowship might be an encouragement. And the gospel, we think that we just heard. Oh, we pray that it may not fall to the ground and be forgotten, but it may spring forth fruit for Thine honor and glory. We ask this and thank Thee in Thy most worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.